Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we began a short teaching series on Psalm 1. Let me read this first psalm for us. It is short and powerful. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Verses 1 through 3 describe the blessed, righteous person. Blessedness means happiness. The blessed, the happy, the righteous person is described in verse 1 using three actions he or she does not take. In verse 2, we will find the positive actions the blessed and happy person does take. First, we have the negative and then the positive, if you will. Later in verses 4 through 6, we will meet the person who is not blessed but cursed because they are wicked. The first of the actions a blessed person does not take is that he or she does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We discussed what that means. Second, he or she does not stand in the path of sinners. We also talked about what this looks like. For the blessed person, this means getting out of the sinner's way. This requires some swift moves because for the sinner, there are many paths, many ways. To be a blessed and happy person means we remove ourselves from those pathways to the destruction written about in the second half of this psalm. Well, someone might speak up. How are we supposed to witness to sinners if we separate ourselves from them? My answer is to say that this psalm does not teach separation as a legalistic approach of cutting off all relationships with sinners. My goodness, how impossible, since we all sin. What this is teaching is do not participate in sinful ways. There is a difference. Here is an example. When I was younger and working, I assumed that in order to witness for Christ, I needed to spend time outside the office with my colleagues who were not Christians. This meant going where they went and doing what they did. That pulled me into several nightclubs and bars. But I quickly realized this was not enhancing my witness for Christ, rather it was damaging it. So I explained why nights out with them were ending, while at the same time I increased time spent with them in the office and at other neutral settings. I removed myself from the path of sinners while being careful not to totally remove myself from the sinners themselves. I think that is what the psalmist is saying. How is it that we blessed, happy, and righteous people are standing in the paths of sinners? How is it that we need to get off the path, get out of the way, while also maintaining and building relationships that allow us to speak the truth of the gospel to these same sinners? This is why we need God's wisdom and the discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit. May God help us know the difference. Let's get to this third action, the blessed do not do. The end of verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. The scoffers are the people who speak of Christ and Christians in derisive and mocking ways. Have you been on the receiving end of contempt and ridicule because of your living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You have been scoffed at. I have too. These are often the atheists that do this. Adam Clark says these are believers in all unbelief. That is a good way to describe an atheist, a believer in all unbelief. Charles Spurgeon writes this, "The blessed person finds no rest in the atheist's scoffings. Let others make a mock of sin, of eternity, of hell and heaven, and of the eternal God. The blessed man has learned better philosophy than that of the infidel, and has too much sense of God's presence to endure, to hear God's name blasphemed. The seat of the scorner may be very lofty, but it is very near the gate of hell. Let us flee from it, for it shall soon be empty, and destruction will swallow up the person who sits therein." The Reformation theologian Martin Luther pressed the identity of the scoffer further to some people within the church, most necessarily the Roman Catholic Church. And in the 1500s, he wrote this about the seat in which scoffers sit, quote, "With respect to the term seat, to sit in the seat is to teach, to act the instructor and teacher, as in Matthew 23, verse 2, the scribes sit in Moses' chair. They sit in the seat of pestilence, who fill the church with the opinions of philosophers, with the traditions of men, and with the counsels of their own brain, and oppress miserable consciences, setting aside all the while the word of God, by which alone the soul is fed, lives, and is preserved." That was Martin Luther on the scoffer. You can get all these quotations by visiting our website, and next to each podcast, click Read Along, and you will have downloaded the manuscript. Just visit godisministry.org and click Read Along, the link next to each podcast. The manuscript is yours free of charge, godisministry.org. Well, there's a whole lot of scoffing going on in our society. Perhaps the people who face the worst of this are Christian academics, such as those who teach and write in the universities. Regularly, they receive ridicule for their work that upholds the rigor of true scholarship, but at the same time does not compromise on biblical truth. We need to pray for these men and women that they will be faithful to Christ in an environment that is hostile to God and His people. Many a chair in an academic department, such as the chair of the science department, is a scoffer. They sit in the seat of the scoffer, but the blessed and happy person has no such seat. To review verse 1 of Psalm 1, "The blessed person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." As we leave this verse, I want you to notice the direction in which this moves. It goes from bad to worse. The unrighteous person has his own counsel, the sinner has his own way, and the scorner has his seat, but the righteous person has none of this. Charles Spurgeon again, quote, "When men are living in sin, they go from bad to worse. At first, they merely walk in the counsel of the careless and ungodly who forget God. The evil is rather practical than habitual, but after that, they become habituated to evil, and they stand in the way of open sinners who willfully violate God's commandments. And if left alone, they go one step further and become themselves pestilent teachers and tempters of others, and thus they sit in the seat of the scornful." That's so true. Spurgeon nails it. It's going from bad to worse. But then, thankfully, comes the contrast in verse 2. The psalmist continues, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Well, whose delight is he describing? This is the delight of the blessed and happy person. Here is the positive way in which these persons are described. It is important to say what the author means by the law of the Lord. By law, he does not mean that blessed persons are under the law as a curse and condemnation for our sin, the sin which keeps us from obeying God's law. What he means by law is that the blessed person is in God's law, as in the scripture. Listen to how the Apostle Paul defines this in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. I am reading in Romans 8, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the best way to think about the law of the Lord. The blessed man and woman is not under condemnation, for the law is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Oh yes, the law is the Word of God, and the blessed meditate on it day and night. This is our delight. Delight means a pleasure, a desire, and a valuable thing. And so, of course, we meditate all the time on that which is a delight, a pleasure, a desire, and a valuable thing. We are running out of time, so I want to return to this when we are next together. Let me end with a question. Do you delight in God's Word? Do you meditate on it day and night? If so, why? If not, why? How will Psalm 1 verse 2 challenge you to delight not in this world, but to delight in the Word, the very Word of God? We delight in that which is a pleasure, a desire, and a valuable thing. Is the Bible this for you? Answer for yourself, and let's talk more about this next time, right here on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.